This is Fantasy Football Friday with Ty Richardson.
Another edition of Fantasy Football Friday. I'm your host, Ty Richardson. Please be joined by Mike Wohlert, 4-for-4 Football. You can find some of his stuff there. Mike, appreciate you hopping on here today, man.
Oh, no problem. Appreciate you reaching out. And yeah, that's always happy to do it. So thank you.
So, Mike, we've had the discussion in our league, the Manawatu County Bums League, is I believe what it's called, about having defensive players. Now, in 4 years, 5 years of the league, we've never done it, but we've at least brought it to the table. What dynamic do you think it adds to fantasy football, having that particular player in the fantasy league?
I think if you're doing IDP, it kind of makes you a better student of football, because you're watching both sides. So instead of, you know, you're watching your offensive players, and then, you know, you got your defensive special team, so you're kind of hoping for a sack, or you're kind of hoping a fumble. So it's just a general defense. But with IDP, you're focusing on not only the player, but you are focusing on a defensive scheme. What schemes will my players benefit from? And, you know, what, you know, sacks, and you know, all the players get accumulated stats like a normal, like the offensive position. So you got tackles, you got assisted tackles, fumble recoveries, and sacks. So it, you know, you kind of are paying attention to both sides of the game, and it makes you almost learn the game a little bit more. And I've been playing IDP for about 12 years. So I think my knowledge of the sport has certainly grown since just paying attention to offensive players, and it makes it certainly more exciting. And I think it eliminates a little bit of the luck factor too. Sure, you know, your defensive player can get, you know, luck into a fumble recovery, but you don't have some of that luck like a special teams return for a touchdown, or you don't have like a defense getting like the New England Patriots, for example, accumulating 30, 40 points and just ruining your week if you're coming up against that juggernaut defense.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that, because I was talking to you before you came on, Mike, that I am playing the league leader right now this week. And who does he have on his team? The New England Patriots defense.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody who's facing the Patriots is probably the same thing, or even the Buffalo Bills.
You mentioned you've been doing the 12 years with an IDP fantasy football player. Is there a guy the last few years, or if you want to even go back to 12, that you think has been the most consistent when it comes to getting points in that particular category?
There's quite a few, and what's, even though IDP has been around, there's so many different scoring systems, so it's really a function of your scoring system. But I do know one guy who I drafted in one of my keeper leagues in 2012 has been Luke Kuechly. He's had battles with some concussions and things like that, but in terms of production, there hasn't really been someone as consistent as Luke Kuechly. He's someone you can, you know, if he puts in a full 16, he's someone you can pretty much pencil in for about 140 total tackles, a handful of the big plays, like a few interceptions, a sack or two, some forced fumbles. But he's a guy that I will always have consistently ranked near the top, just because if he's playing, he's going to get double digit tackles more times than not. So for me, he's a guy who's probably been probably the most consistent defensive player.
Has it been frustrating that JJ Watt just seems to always be injured in some way, shape, or form? When you spend a draft pick on that guy, is it frustrating more than just a regular player that you would draft to see him go down during the season?
Oh yeah, because a lot of times, from what I've seen, is J.J. Watt, up until the last few years, people have been drafting him in the fifth or the sixth round. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is you're taking on that, but you're filling up you're taking up a spot where you could have taken an offensive player, so you could have taken a wide receiver, or another running back, and so you've lost that player for X amount of weeks when you could have gotten another position player. So yeah, if you're a JJ Watt owners, again, he's if he's on the field, he's going to produce. But yeah, it's those injuries that have really set him back those few years. And you know, you got players like Aaron Donald who are also commanding a lot of attention. they're still going to produce, but they're not probably going to be as consistent week to week because, you know, they're getting double or triple teamed. But certainly when they do produce, they are going to go off for anywhere between 2 to 3 sacks in the game and get a handful of tackles and really wreak havoc when they do explode.
Speaking with Mike Woller, contributor for 4 for 4 Football, talking with him on Fantasy Football Friday. Mike, if I'm going to petition, if I'm going to talk to our fantasy league about the addition of the independent defensive player, for your side of things, how would you go about convincing someone to adding it to their league?
Sure. You know what? It's really all about having some fun. And, you know, it doesn't need to be overly complex because that's one of the arguments I hear. Oh, my God, I've got to pay attention now to cornerbacks and I got to pay attention to safety. So now I got to pay attention to all of these depth charts. And the point of fantasy football is to have fun. So I would introduce it. Hey, you know what? Let's have some fun. Let's pay attention to both sides. And you know what? Let's just introduce, a couple of defensive linemen, a couple of linebackers and defensive backs. We don't need to get crazy, but let's just see how it works. You know, we'll set up a pretty fair scoring system and let's just see how it works for a season. We don't need to start defensive tackles. We don't need to start cornerbacks. And, you know, we don't have to introduce these complex formats and let's just have some fun and let's just see how it goes. Because that's really what fantasy football is. It's all about having fun. Like I said, introduce a few defensive linemen, a couple linebackers and a couple of defensive backs. And let's call it a day and let's see what happens.
So, Mike, I know you live in Cleveland. How close are you to First Energy Stadium? And I'm just assuming by being in Cleveland, you're a big-time Browns fan.
Oh, God, yeah. Born and raised. I'm about 20 minutes east of the stadium. I work downtown, so, I'm right here downtown. But, yeah, I'm about 20 minutes east of Cleveland. So, but, yeah, born and raised a Browns fan.
What's been the problem so far for the Browns this year, Mike?
I think one of the things we at least – for me, as soon as we traded for Odell, I'm like, all right, we're going to the Super Bowl. Then obviously, you know, the excitement of getting Odell Beckham kind of tempers a little bit. You're like, all right, well, these are still football players. It's still football. It's still the NFL. It's a grown man's league. So I went into the season thinking 9-7, 10-6. But what I didn't really think about is when you have all this talent, you have Odell Beckham, you got Sheldon Richardson, and now you've got a defense and you've got this dynamic player, sometimes you don't, and a rookie coach, and you don't think about, okay, well, they haven't really had a chance to form some chemistry. Yeah, they had some get-togethers throughout the summer, but does that really build chemistry? And then you have the fact that, you know what, it's a rookie head coach. And that, I think, has also played into it. And you know what? Baker Mayfield has had a couple of decent games, but he hasn't been what he was last year. Could be a couple of things. You know, there was tape on him last year. So they had a whole off season to study some of his tendencies and to see how he reacts and see how he plays. So there's tape on him. And then I think it's just chemistry. So I think it's taking some time. They didn't have a preseason really to form some of that chemistry. And you know what, it's taking some time. And it's one of those things you just kind of forget about. Nick Chubb has obviously been the bright spot of that entire offense. He's been phenomenal. If fantasy owners, if you drafted him in the first round, obviously you're enjoying that production because he's been as advertised coming in to a second year, but that Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, you know, connection hasn't really clicked. And I'm kind of hoping once the bye week comes on, I know we have the Patriots and that's going to be a tough game, but the rest of the schedule kind of opens up and I'm kind of hoping, you know, maybe the division is still in vision.
It's the most dysfunctional organization in the NFL. Is that a fair, them or the Jets, right? Is that a fair characterization of your Browns?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I were to say, no, this has been a tip-top franchise, I think a lot of people would probably, I'd probably be discredited immediately.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty fair to say, especially since Jimmy Haslam has come in. It's been a circus.
Yeah, Haslam's SEC country dealing some stuff with piling him. But okay, so back to Baker, Mike. So he's thrown a lot of picks this year, but if you actually look at the statistics, they've been a lot of tip balls, a lot of plays that his wide receivers and stuff on caught. There's people are giving him a lot of crap based on the commercials they keep seeing about him, saying he's not focused and stuff. Yep. What's your opinion of Baker himself so far this season? And what does he need to do to really turn his season and the Browns season around?
Well, you know what? It's it's as the season goes. If the Browns were 4-2, you wouldn't hear anything about the commercials.
Yeah.
You wouldn't hear anything about that. So it's how the season goes. They're 2-4, so they're going to blame it on the off-the-field stuff that he's doing. Oh, it's the commercials. It's, you know, some of the cockiness. It's this and this. But they're 4-2. You're not hearing a peep. I think he just needs to review some of the film and to see what made him successful. It seems like, especially against Seattle, it's those really quick hitch passes that he's getting the ball off quick. And I think they need to get back to that. I don't think he's forcing the ball too much. It's, you know, some of the accuracy is a little bit off, but yeah, he's had, you know, I go back to the San Francisco game. There was that drop by Callaway right at the goal line. And that really flipped the momentum of the game. Couple of plays against Seattle. There was that one against Hilliard to him out of the backfield. He bobbled and that got intercepted. So I think hopefully they use this bye week to kind of take a look at the play calling, see what they can improve. And you know, it's just, take the time and get the ball out quick. And I think they need to run the ball a little bit more, because I know Nick Chubb is still getting 20 carries, but make Nick Chubb the focal point of that offense even more, and that's going to open up some play action, should open up some protection, and it's going to keep the defenses honest. So I think if they do some of those simple things, I think that will put Baker Mayfield in a really good position to succeed. And, you know, he could be one of those waiver wire pickups, because I'm sure he's probably been dropped. And you know what? If I owned him, I probably would have dropped him too. But he could be one of those waiver wire pickups over the next couple of weeks that hopefully lifts you to a championship, because they've got a pretty good schedule.
Big trade in the NFL. Jags trade Jalen Ramsey to the Rams. How much is that going to impact the Los Angeles defense?
Yeah, their secondary has kind of been their Achilles heel. They just traded Marcus Peters, who had a reputation of being a good corner, but he really wasn't. You know, he had that really good rookie year, but has really tailed off. So I think with Jalen Ramsey, I think that's going to obviously help out the secondary, but I think they're still weak at the offensive line, and they just traded away pretty much every draft pick up until I don't think they have a first round pick till 2023. So yeah, you kind of fixed one thing, but you didn't fix your offensive line, which, you know, which is one of the things the Browns are going through. You know, some of those offensive line woes, but you know, you got to, I think the right tackle, escapes me, but you know, Jared Goff is still not getting some of that protection, but you do have a shutdown corner in Ramsey. So that it's going to help a little bit on that, on the defensive side of the ball. I think it'll help Aaron Donald, because he's going to get, you can't hold him down long when Jalen Ramsey is covering the top receiver. So I think it's going to open things up a little bit for that defense.
Speaking with Mike Woller on Fantasy Football Friday here. Mike, when you're at this point in the season, you're going back and forth. Are there any leagues you just give up on if you're just awful in them? Or do you continuously put maximum effort to every single league that you're participating in?
Even in any of the leagues, if you're 0-6 or 1-5, I still think you owe it to try. So I don't necessarily give up. I'll still work the wire, pick some guys up and kind of hope for the best. Maybe send out a trade offer, see what happens. But yeah, I'm still pounding away. So, you know, there've been a few years where I was maybe 2-4, 2-5, and still had a shot at the playoffs. So I think if you kind of just got to assess your team, see where you stand. If you're in a dynasty league, maybe you sell high on some guys and try to get some picks. Redraft, you know, maybe some guys aren't working out, and you know, maybe you just just maybe try to sell high, or you know, try to buy low on some guys and kind of go from there. So, you know, don't give up. Anything can really happen. Football is a weird sport.
Pat McAfee had some harsh words to say for Al Riveron and the NFL officials, and he thinks Riveron's leadership is kind of the reason that the NFL officiating hasn't been up to snuff so far this season. What have you thought about the officiating so far in the NFL to this point in the season?
It's been frustrating, just because whenever there's a big play, there always seems to be a flag. So, you know, and coming back to fantasy football, that obviously impacts everybody, whether it's a defensive player who got a tackle, the tackle is taken away. Obviously it impacts a running back or a wide receiver, because they get either, the play taken away, or if it's pass interference, you know, they don't get credit for any of those yards. So yeah, the flags have been frustrating just because it ruins really any type of flow of the game once it starts going. Mm-hmm. And when you have 2, 3, 4 penalties called in a row, it's just maddening, and it does, and it just ruins any type of game flow. And I'm not going to say it's unwatchable, but it's certainly frustrating to watch.
Mike, the weakest position for my football team right now is tight end. I had Delanie Walker for most of the year. We know what's happened with Marcus Mariota, him getting benched for Ryan Tannehill, and really the patheticness of the Tennessee Titans. I mean, that's just how it is. They've looked awful so far this year, and unfortunately, Delanie's receptions and points, it's gone way down because of the inability to get the ball in the end zone. So I picked up TJ Hawkinson. He really didn't do much for me last week. Is there a tight end? We got like Graham, Witten, I think Fants on our waiver wire. Is there a tight end that you would recommend me to pick up down the rest of the season, or am I pretty much screwed when it comes to that position?
Now, tight end is one of those streamable positions. So if you don't have one of the elite guys, or if you're frustrated, you can always pick somebody up. I know if Dawson Knox is available, I think he's somebody you can pick up. I mean, I always like to pick on the Miami defense. So if Dawson Knox is available, maybe Dallas Gaedert. I know Zach Ertz is there, but Dallas Gaedert is getting a little bit more involved in the offense, playing in more snaps. I think he's had 70% of the snaps in consecutive weeks. Dallas is not good against tight ends. Darren Fells of the Texans, I know he's been getting some targets over the last couple of weeks. And I know Darren Waller, I think he just signed an extension, but someone like Foster Moreau could be a sneaky pickup. I know Tyrell Williams has been out, or he's been hampered with an injury. So, he played, I think, over 60% of the snaps last week. And, you know, he got he's had a decent stat line over the last couple of weeks. I think 7 catches, 76 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, if you can get 6, 7 points, 8 points out of, you know, a streamer, then I think I think you're in good shape.
So, Mike, you just listed a bunch of different tight ends that are on our waiver wire currently. Jason Witten, Jimmy Graham, Knox, Ebron, Goddard, Fant, Higbee, Burton, Rudolph, Atkins, and you mentioned Fells as well.
Yep.
Is there anyone in that group that you think specifically that I should start this week? And you think Knox might have a solid day against the Dolphins, it seems like.
Yeah, I think, with the Bills, they've got, I think last time I saw they had a total of, I think, 28 points. So I think if they go off, I think he could be involved. And I even like you said Jimmy Graham. I think every receiver for the Packers is hurt this week, so I think Jimmy Graham could also be a sneaky play. I think Scantling is hurt, is been limited or hasn't practiced yet. I think Geronimo Allison hasn't practiced yet. Devontae Adams is hurt, so I think I would probably go with one of those two, with Knox or Graham.
Last question, Mike, before we let you go on Fantasy Football Friday. AB play again this season?
No, I don't know. I think he has dug himself a pretty deep grave, and I think at least for this season, I would not expect him to see him put on a uniform. I think he's done. His career might be over, but I don't know. I think if over the offseason, I know it's funny, every NFL GM or coach has the ego thinking they can turn a guy around, but if he can't do it in New England, then I don't think there's really any hope for anybody to turn him around.
He is Mike Woller, a contributor to 4 for 4 Football. He got some interesting insight from him today. I think a lot of you that are listening to the pod enjoyed it. Mike, thanks again for coming on.
Appreciate it, Ty. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
For show. For show. I'm getting that for show.
New fantasy football interviews every Friday on HitThatLine.com.